Deuteronomy chapter 17. Jeremy and Candace, they just come back from their honeymoon. Where'd you guys go? What part? Puerto Vallarta. Antonio and Lindsay back here with us this morning. They went to Mexico too, right? Cozumel for their honeymoon. Now I want to ask you guys a serious question, okay? That place might be nice to visit, but would you want to live there? No. And I want you to listen to what they're saying. Everybody in the world wants to come live here in America. And as far as Americans concerned, the only Americans that want to move down to Mexico are usually those that are fleeing prosecution of some kind. Okay? I mean, that's probably not the whole deal, but anyway, God has blessed and favored this nation. Can I hear somebody say amen? God has blessed and favored this nation, and there's a reason for that, is that at one time, this nation was founded upon biblical principles. And I'm going to preach a message this morning on biblical principles of government. And I'm going to kind of lead you where I'm going with that this morning. And the founding fathers of our nation, when they signed July 4th, 1776, when they signed that document, they did so at risk and peril of their life and property. These were not the elitist clubs of Europe that were trying to forge a new experiment in democracy. These are men that loved the land and they loved freedom and they loved God, and they knew that God calls men everywhere to be free. Do you believe that? Say amen. The whole principle of the Bible is to make men free. It is not to make them in bondage and slaves, but it is to make men free. And God wants people to be free. People, God has built it into us to have a desire to be free in our lives, which is the reason why you got saved. When you got saved, it's because you wanted to be free from the curse of hell that was on your soul. And you got saved because of that, because you wanted to be free. The Bible said, Galatians, Paul said, he told the Galatians, he said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith who? Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I've got a little bit of doom and gloom to share with you this morning, but I've got some hope, because I believe that God has a better way. Did you know that if our country turns completely around tomorrow, and when I say completely around, I mean just turns its back on God and on liberty, on everything else, and we turn into the communist socialist state that we are walking into right now, did you know that God's people can still be free? That's what not only just makes us good Americans, it makes us good Christians, is that we can be thrown in prison and be free. Paul was. Amen. Paul sat in jail cell after jail cell, but he was a free man because he was free in Christ, and he was not going to let anybody put him in chains of yoke and yokes of bondage again. But I want to preach some principles to you out of the Scriptures. And I'm going to, like I did last Sunday, we talked about biblical principles of salvation. And I showed last Sunday morning wrong ways of salvation. And there are churches that are preaching wrong ways of salvation right now. And this world is full of wrong ways for a man to inherit eternal life. Just like there are wrong ways for a person to try to be saved, there are wrong forms of government that exist in this world right now. And I'm here to tell you that our country is moving into a wrong form of government. And I want you to listen to the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to show some things. I'm going to name some names this morning. I prayed about this message, and I do not want what I say to be a stumbling block to anybody, either here in this church or outside of this church at all. I do not want that to be that way. But once you find the truth and know the truth, you're free in the truth, and you want to share the truth with other people. Would you like to be free this morning? Can I hear you say amen? So I want us to look at Deuteronomy 17. We're going to read the Scriptures, and I'm just going to take you through some slides this morning, and I want you to pray for this message, that it will be a blessing to you, that it will be a blessing to other people, and that maybe a seed would be planted in somebody's life, and they could be changed this morning. God had already seen where the people were headed, and He knew what they were going to do, and He knew what was going to happen once they got into the land that was their own. And we can see the parallels of Israel going across the sea into a land flowing with milk and honey. We can see the parallels of Israel in this country, because that is how we started. Okay? God brought people across the sea who wanted to be free, and He put them in a land flowing with milk and honey. And God wanted to establish His righteousness and His forms of government in that land. And if you don't believe that, then you believe the liberal socialist historians of the world that tell you that men came here searching for gold and searching for wealth and this, that, and the other. But that's not the real foundations of America. The real foundations of America were based upon this Bible right here. And when the foundations of America are being destroyed, in that the Bible has taken second, third, fourth, fifth place in people's lives. In fact, it's not even around in most realms of government in this country. The Bible is nowhere to be found. But God had already foreseen this. And God sent a He not only sent a warning to the people, but He also sent them an encouragement of how He said He wanted things to be. You have your Bibles turned to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14. Say amen. The Bible says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. By the way, this land is a gift. Can I hear you say amen? And when you have gifts, you ought to take care of them, just like we teach our kids at Christmas time. When you give them gifts or give them birthday presents, you need to take care of them. And the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, and I want you to look at what they're saying, I will set a king over me. Now this statement right here, I want you to look at this now. God's trying to tell you something in this statement. I'm going to share with you what that is here in a little bit. I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me. Now I want to tell you something right here. God called us to be different than all the nations around us. He called us to be better than that. And I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about Christian people. God did call us to be better than everything. Not that we go around saying, well, I'm better than you, this and that and the other. But God birthed us high, like eagles are birthed. God birthed us to live high and to have high standards and high ideas and high morals. And we're not to be looking around at all the other nations and saying, well, I want to be like that and I want to be like that and I want to be like that. That's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the way that God wants us to be. So he said, verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. And I'm going to tell you what that means here in a minute, okay? Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall not henceforth return no more, or ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Think about Solomon. What was the downfall of Solomon? Okay? Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children. That's his posterity. That's the posterity that our founding fathers wrote about in the midst of Israel. I want us to bow our heads and ask God to help me, ask God to help me preach this message in the right way. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to be obedient. I want to be submissive to you, God. I don't want my own stupid ideas in the way, God. I don't want my flesh in the way, Lord. I just want to preach the pure word of God. And Lord, Father, I do want to show the contrast, Lord, of your way versus the world's way. And I pray, God, that you would help me do that. Help me to preach with all authority and rebuke with all authority. But God, Lord, help me to preach the truth in love. Father, I love my country. I love my country, and I love this nation. I love the land that I live in. I love the state of Missouri. I love Jefferson County. Father, I love this place. It is home to me. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would bless it once again. Father, I love this church and I love my family. And Father, Lord, these are realms of government that you want to awaken us to, God, and show us how things really ought to be. Help us, dear God, Lord, to get discernment. Help us to see what's going on in our world, Father, with biblical glasses. And help us, dear God, in our own lives to see, God, what is the true biblical form of government that you want us to have. Help us and teach us your ways, Father, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, I'm going to come over here just for a few minutes, and I'm going to show you some things. The first thing I'm going to ask you is, and I prayed this a while ago, do you really want your ways or the world's ways in your life, or do you want God's ways in your life? And God's ways are simple, and yet they're very profound. You're going to be amazed. This is what God has laid on my heart to preach. You're going to be amazed at what the real, true form of biblical government is in your life, okay? And I will tell you that it is based upon God and it's based upon the Bible, but there is a really true form of biblical government that God wants you to have in your life. And I want you to understand this on several realms. Number one, in our nation, and we are dealing with some very serious, and I'm going to say we're fixing to deal with some deadly serious issues in our nation real soon. How many of y'all know that? Say amen. We're at a turning point in this nation, and I want it to turn back to God. Okay? But that's going to be up to God. It's going to be up to the American people. But anyway, but I want you to think about realms of authority in your life. And I want you to think about a church or a home or different things like that. But I want you to just, your minds to be open to the Word of God this morning and let God show you some things. I'm going to introduce you to a guy, if I can get this deal to work up here. Hang on here. Has anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Ezekiel Emanuel? Does anybody know who that is? Have you ever heard of the name Rahm Emanuel? You know who that is? Rahm Emanuel is the chief advisor to Barack Obama. Okay? Rahm Emanuel's from Chicago. Barack Obama's from Chicago. Ezekiel Emanuel's from, let's see, Kagan's from Chicago. About half of everybody that Obama knows is from Chicago. Ezekiel Emanuel is Rahm Emanuel's brother, and Rahm Emanuel is a guy pretty much that is instructing our president on how things should be. Usually, and you can see this all throughout the Bible, usually the one who is in authority is not the one who's really making all the decisions. Even in the book, if you read the book of Esther, that's what you'll see. When the king Ahasuerus, when he gave his ring over to Haman, he was listening to Haman's advice, and Haman said, let's kill all the Jews. But then at some point, he handed his authority or his counsel over to Esther, who came in and said, you know, stop this, and this is a terrible thing, don't do this. And then Ahasuerus listened to her. And I want to tell you, there are people that are advising the president of the United States right now that have an agenda behind it, and it is an unbiblical agenda, and it's a deadly agenda, and I want you to see this. Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, he is what is called, and I want to come up here to the screen here, and I want to point this out to you. He is what is called a communitarian. Now, if you think that sounds like communism, it does, and it sounds like communism for a reason. And I want to ask you this morning, does anybody here want to see communism inside this country? No, you'd be an idiot if you did. Communism is an unbiblical form of government, and I'm going to show it to you from the Bible that socialism and communism are unbiblical forms of government. God did not design man to live that way. But a communitarian, I'm going to read this. President Obama's chief advisor on healthcare is Ezekiel Emanuel. Healthcare bill. We just passed a healthcare bill. Who advised the president on the healthcare bill? There was a lot of groups, but Ezekiel Emanuel was one of the advisors that formed what this healthcare bill is all about. He's the brother of the White House chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. In addition to Dr. Emanuel being a trained oncologist, he is also an avowed communitarian, listen to this, who advocates healthcare rationing. That means that if they don't think you should get the healthcare, you won't get the health care. This is the thinking, this is the communitarian thinking behind the health care bill. In February 2009, he was tapped by the administration to work on the formulation of a national health care strategy. Officially, Dr. Emanuel is a special advisor to the director of the White House Office of Management and Budget for Health Policy. In February, Lynn Sweet of Chicago Sun-Times reported that he is working on the health care reform effort. He is detailed to the OMB spot and is still officially an employee of the National Institute of Health. In other words, this guy is the architect of the health care movement that is going on. And it just started with the bill that was shoved through Congress, and it's going to be expanded from there, because we know that Congress and the White House does not believe that you just pass a law and leave it lay. 5 years from now, they're going to add to it. 2 years from now, they're going to add to it. And it's just going to keep building and building and building. And it has as its goal a communitarian idea. And I'm going to show you what that means. Well, maybe I'll turn this on. Maybe that'll help us. All right. All right. Now, his views aren't limited to this. Let's see. The Bible says he wrote a short article for the Hastings Center in which he expounded upon the role that communitarianism might play in healthcare. Dr. Emanuel's bioethical views are heavily fueled by adherence to this philosophy of communitarianism. Briefly put, communitarianism is a fairly new political philosophy that emphasizes the role of the community in defining and shaping individuals. In other words, what everybody comes to in a consensus on what should be, that's what should be, and that is not biblical. God never left it up to the church to decide what the doctrines of the faith were going to be. God directed those doctrines. Can I hear you say amen? The founding fathers did not ask King George's opinion about what their new government should be. They decided, based upon the word of God, what it should be. The church does not tell God what to believe or tell anybody else. The community does not decide what's right. That is the idea of what's called mob rules. Whoever is the mob and whoever is the greatest, they're the ones that decide that's right. And let me explain this. Just because a majority votes to do something, that does not make that right. That's what communitarianism is. Just because the community says that this is right, that does not make it right. The community of Crystal City allowed a pornography shop over here in their city limits. That does not make it right. Can I hear you say amen? That's what communitarianism is. Now watch this. Communitarianism focuses on the need to balance individual rights, that's the freedoms that you have, and interests with that of the community as a whole. And that individual people are shaped by the cultures and values of their communities. In this article, he infamously declared, listen to his exact quote, "Services provided to individuals who are irreversibly prevented from being or becoming participating citizens." Ezekiel Emanuel said, and I'm glad these guys are here this morning, that Stan is not a capable participating citizen of the United States of America. And since he cannot contribute, since Stan cannot work in a factory and build a car or climb up an electrical pole or hang drywall or check out service at a mercantile shop, since he cannot do that, he is not a participating citizen, and they are not basic and should not be, their rights and services are not basic and should not be guaranteed. An obvious example is not, now this is Ezekiel Emanuel's own words. An obvious example is not guaranteeing health services to patients with dementia. In other words, let them die. Now, who in here agrees with the principles of communitarianism? I don't. I think it's an atrocity that we have men who are running our country that believe this nonsense. This is sick, okay? This is not a biblical form of government. Communitarianism is communism in a different wrapper. And it basically says the whole community has to be all working together, and it takes away from your individual rights and your individual responsibilities and your individual allowances. The New York Times said Obama is a communitarian. The New York Times said this. The New York Times is favoring Obama. They said Obama is a communitarian. He believes you can only make profound political changes if you first change the spirit of the community. Listen to what that is. President Clinton said Obama's election was the first one in which people were self-consciously communitarian, understanding, watch what he said, understanding we are going to rise and fall together. That also is not biblical. The Bible says that there are going to be people who will fall in the last days. That doesn't mean that everybody has to fall in the last days. God's going to find some people that it's not going to fall, that's going to be against the community, and we're going to stand, you know, as individuals. But that's what communitarianism is. We're going to rise and fall together. We live in an interdependent nation and an interdependent world, but that is not what they signed on July 4, 1776. That's not what they signed. They signed that we are now free and independent states. That we're not going to stand with the community of King George. We're not going to be like the Europeans. We are going to be us. Bethel Church doesn't want to be like First Baptist, Second Baptist, Faith Baptist, Assembly of God, Nazarene. Bethel Church doesn't want to be like anybody else. We want to be like us. Amen? And if we were going to have a church like everybody else, then why don't we just disband and go to all the other churches? But we're not part of the community. God has given us a choice. And if they want to go one way, that's fine. God tells us to go a different direction, and that's what we're going to do. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? Now, this picture was taken of Barack Obama while he was running for president. He was fixing to get on a plane, and he has a book in his hand called The Post-American World. It was a book written describing what is going to happen in the world when America collapses. and it's favorable to the collapse of America. The change, the transformation that he ran for office on was detailed in that book. This is what he stands for. This same concept is in the church. How many of you have ever seen this community church? There are community churches everywhere. Everybody is renaming their church community church. Now, 100 years ago, a community church was, that was the church in that community. There was a little town and there was a little church in there, and everybody went to the same church because horses can't run 35, 40 miles to go to church on Sunday morning. And so you rode 5 miles into town and you went to the only church that was in that community. That's what it used to mean. Today, all the churches now are changing their names over to the community church. That's because the spirit of communitarianism now exists in the church. Now, I don't have time to explain all this, but let me wrap it up in the statement of the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church of America. She's a woman, and she was promoting communitarianism in the church this way. This is what she said. At the Episcopal Church's General Conference recently held in Anaheim, presiding bishop Catherine Jeffords Scorey opened the conference with a stunning statement saying, quote, "The great Western heresy is we can be saved as individuals." Now, she's saying that that's a heresy. Can I tell you something? That let's just pretend that we're all off base here in this church. Did you know that God can save one person, one man, one woman, one kid out of this church, and God can save them out of that church? Do you believe that? Say amen. But she says that's a heresy. She's a communitarian. And she believes we can be saved as individuals, that any of us can alone be right in a right relationship with God. According to the Bishop S., that individualist focus is a form of idolatry, for it puts me, in my words, in the place that only God can occupy. Here's what she really believes. She believes in a communitarian idea, a communist idea, a socialist idea in the church that says if one of us hope to be saved, we all have to be saved or we're all lost. That's what she believes. So if all of us can't be saved, none of us can be saved. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is that what the gospel says? Because the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed..." And I want you to look at that statement, because here in this statement right here is the true form of biblical government. Paul said, "My beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Do you know what the true form of biblical government is? Self-government. Now, that is not anarchy. Self-government under the written laws of God. Who believes that? Abraham did not have a king telling him what to do. Abraham did not have a king telling him what was right. He did not have a government telling him that he ought to do this and that he ought to do that. When Lot had been captured... Abraham did not have a government telling him to go get Lot. He just went and did it because it was the right thing to do. In fact, Abraham refused to take the bribe money that the king of Sodom was wanting to give him. He refused to take it because he said, "I do not want it said that the king of Sodom made me rich." But I want to tell you what, that message needs to go out in the halls of America today. Okay? But Abraham is a picture of self-government in that he was not an anarchist. He did not just do whatever he felt like doing. What God told him to do, he did, and he didn't need anybody watching over him to make him do it. That's the true form of biblical government. That is the idea that our founders had when they formed this nation. They believed in the concept of limited government because they believed that man ultimately does not answer to the earthly government. He answers to the heavenly government. And that God's judicial ways of blessing for righteousness and cursing for unrighteousness should be sufficient to temper a man's morality. In other words, you knowing that the actions that you perform and the things that you do will either cause you to go to heaven or to hell should be sufficient for you to decide to do right and to not do wrong. Let me hear somebody say amen. That is God's form of government. You do not and should not need someone standing over you constantly watching it, you should not need video cameras at stoplights. You should not need that. You should not need a policeman with a radar. And we were talking about this yesterday, Sterling. They got cameras now at stoplights. Probably they're going to start putting radar devices all along the highways so that they could do what? Monitor what everybody's doing. Why? Because we know that most of the people in this country, like that people I saw yesterday smoking marijuana in their car going down the highway, which is illegal. These people cannot govern their own actions. So they need, and we, you know, when we see things like that, we always say, where's the cop when you need him? Guess what? We're fixing to enter into a society where there's going to be a lot of cops and a lot of cameras and a lot of monitoring devices. Everybody's going to be monitored because men refuse to govern themselves. Are you listening to the Word of God this morning? So Paul said, you obey God not only in my absence, but even after I leave, you obey God. What a blessing that Paul was, what a pronouncement he was given to the Philippian church. He said, I know that I can leave and you're still going to obey God. Why? Because the godly principle of self-government was instilled in them. And Paul, as an authority over them, did not have to stand over them telling them what to do all the time. You see, that's how we treat children. But Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I did what? I pulled away childish things. Paul did not need someone to tell him how to operate in the office of apostle. He had the word of God and he followed it. Abraham did not need a government to tell him to go to Mount Moriah to offer up his son. He did so because he believed God and he trusted in God and he knew it was the right thing to do, and God counted that to him for righteousness. How many of you understand the biblical principle of self-government? Raise your hand. And so this is why I'm telling you, we're fixing to take a turn in this country. And if it does, and this country turns into a communist dictatorship, which it probably will, did you know that you can still be free in Jesus Christ? Somebody say amen. You can still be free. All right, now that's good news. Now, but anyway, this idea of communitarianism in a church, he goes on to say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You and you and you and you and you and you and you, you are responsible for your salvation. Not the community. You're not responsible for the community, and the community is not responsible for you. You are. Self-government. Self-discipline. Self-morality. I almost said self-righteousness, but that's not good. Unbiblical forms of government. Socialism is an unbiblical form of government. Communism is an unbiblical form of government. Globalism without Christ. The United Nations is an unbiblical entity in this world. Globalist, the fact that all the nations now have to be under one big giant community, that is a falsehood, and God wants us to be separated out from that. The Bible said, for the Lord, I want you to look at the wisdom of the Bible. Number one, the Lord is our what? Our judge. When the Lord is your judge, you will not have to go on judge duty. And I want you to look at a three-tiered form of government here in Isaiah. This is what our founders based the principle of checks and balances on. We have the judicial branch, the legislative branch, and the executive branch, and they're all founded right here in this one verse. The Lord is our judge. God will judge between you and other people. Do you believe that? Say amen. Number two, the Lord is our lawgiver. And when men's laws are meant to suppress people and give them bondage, God's laws are meant to give man liberty. Do you believe that? Say amen. God is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. And he will save us. So we have a three-tiered form of government here. And it was all intended that these principles should rule in a man's heart so that he is capable of ruling over his own morality and his own actions. This is God's biblical principle of government. Socialism seeks to take that away. Socialism says, let's say that Joe, let's say that you went out. Joe here is going to be Joe the plumber. You've done some plumbing, haven't you? Joe's going to be Joe the plumber. Who knows who Joe the plumber is? Joe the plumber was the guy in Ohio that shook hands with the wannabe president, Obama, and asked him point blank, had the nerve to ask him point blank, I want to know why you're wanting to raise my taxes so high. And President Obama said, because this is what he really believes, he said, I believe that if you spread the wealth around a little bit, it just works better for everybody. That's communitarianism. Now, it's biblical for him, if he has wealth, to give it voluntarily to the church or to the poor. That's biblical. Do you agree with that? Say amen. But a dictatorial system that takes it from him and forces him against his will to spread it around to others who have not earned it is unbiblical. Say amen to that. It's wrong to do that. This is why we don't send you a bill Monday morning for your tithes. Because it's your choice. And what socialism is, and this is Obama's idea, is that we have to take all the money from all the rich people, including the middle class. The strength of America is that we have a middle class. No other nation in the world has a middle class. And it's to take it from the rich and the wealthy and the middle class people and give it to people that have not earned it. Now, I'm not saying people that can't help themselves. I'm talking about people that have not earned it. And I'm going to show you that right out of the Bible. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the what? Kingdom. This is a principle of God's government. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. How many believe there are foolish people in this country? Okay, now watch this. They that were foolish took their lamps and did what? Took no oil with them. They're foolish, okay? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Okay? That is the social programs that have been in existence in this country and continue to be in existence. I think you need to grasp this. Because we're not talking about people like Frank and Stan back here who... I'm glad we got a system set up for these guys. Amen? I'm glad we do. I'm talking about people that can work and won't. I'm talking about a government that rewards women having children out of wedlock multiple times and rewards them when married couples have to learn how to do it on their own. That's wrong. It's wrong. It's socialism. And it's borderline communism, and that is where we're going. Because it's going to get worse. The whole health care bill was about wealth redistribution. Giving to people that will not get it for themselves. What is it that built America? Was it the government setting up a system where no one could fail? Or was it the failures of people that led them to want to have something better in this? What was it? It was that. Amen. It wasn't socialism. So watch this. They said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said what? No! No. Lest there not be what? Because eventually, all the money's going to... In fact, it already has. We're not living on the wealth of America anymore. We're living on the debt of America. And eventually, all the money's going to run out. And all the people that had the money and had the incentive, because they went out and worked for it, they had the incentive to build wealth, all of those people are going to say, you know what? My next door neighbor doesn't do diddly, and he gets paid well from the government. I will be like him. And at some point, there's no more money to give out and no more social justice to spread around. And so they said, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them to sell and do what? Buy for yourself, Joe. Buy for yourself. That is the law of the kingdom of God. It's socialism. It's an unbiblical government, and that is where we are headed in this nation. Mark it down. This is why America needs to be prayed for now more than ever. Socialism, communism has not worked in Russia. Did it work in Russia? No. Has it worked in North Korea? Has it worked in Cuba? Has it worked in Europe? Mm-mm. hasn't worked in Europe, hasn't worked in any place, it hasn't worked in China. That's why China did an about face, because China started making a lot of money. And China's done an about face. They're still communist, but they're like communist light, because the communists like a dollar bill just as much as everybody else does. It doesn't work, and it won't work in the United States of America either. And I suspect that they know that it won't work, and it's not meant to work. It's meant to destroy the good that is in place in this nation and replace it with something worse. That's where we're headed. You believe the Bible, say amen. Now, look at this. Deuteronomy 17, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein. Now, at this time, when the Israelites went in, who was the king of Israel at this time? There wasn't one. Moses, by the way, Moses is a picture of self-government. Moses did not need anybody telling him how to lead the Israelites, other than the cloud by day and the fire by night and the law of God. That's what self-government is, okay? And at this time, Israel does not have a king, and God said they didn't need one, because they had the judges, which was Moses and Samuel and Gideon and Samson and all these guys. They had the judges who were responsible for not lording over the people, but judging matters based upon the law. They didn't need a king. They needed judges, and Moses was one of those judges. But here's what happened. God knew that once the people got into the land, they would throw off God's form of government, self-government, and they would want the form of government that existed in every other nation around them, that is, a kingdom. And in a kingdom, there's only one guy that makes all the rules, and that's where we're going in this country. Okay? Rosie O'Donnell came out on the radio a few weeks ago, this BP oil spill, and she said, I don't care what it takes, take over everything. Take over everything. I don't care. Just fix the problem and shut the oil off. Rosie O'Donnell does not care that we have a dictatorial communistic state in this nation. That's what she wanted. Representative Maxine Waters admitted, and she tried to backtrack on her statement and couldn't do it. She admitted that the goal of this current regime in our country is to take over and take control of everything. She admitted that. Okay, she is a democratic socialist, and those are the people that are running our country right now. So watch this. Now, this applies in your own personal life. When you will not govern your own actions, you are going to ask for someone to lord over you. When you will not submit to God's authority, you're asking for cruel authority. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay, so this is, let's just not make it about politics in America. Let's make it about Americans. Because as far as I'm concerned, those who continuously break the law in their lives, they're not good Americans. They're enjoying the freedoms and the liberties that God gives to the righteous, to those who can govern their own morality, not to unrighteous people. And our founding fathers knew that. So this guy says, when I get to the land, I want a king over me. Because I will not, I'm abdicating my own throne of authority under God's rule in my life, and I want someone else to do it for me. And God knew what was going to happen. Now, God is a good God to us. Say amen. So God said, if this is what happens, then I'm going to give you qualifications for the one who's going to rule over you. Are you ready for this? Okay? Number one, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. God is the one who should be leading us when we go to the polls in November. So quit voting the party line, and I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, because as far as I'm concerned, they all need to be thrown out, and we need some new people in. Yeah. Okay? That's what needs to take place. And I don't know that that's going to fix it. I'm just saying that'd be a good place to start. Okay? So number one, make sure when you vote that God tells you who to vote for. The problem with America is we've had too many church people that decided to vote for wealth instead of what God wanted. Okay, so number one, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren thou shalt set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee. The United Nations has no job ruling over the United States of America. And we ought not make treaties with other nations that will thwart the Constitution of the United States of America. Do you believe that? Say amen. This is why, Roy, this is why your job went to Mexico. Am I telling the truth? This is why your job went to Mexico. Because we were sold out in the top levels of our government to put our nation under the authority of a community of nations rather than the Constitution of the United States, and it's unbiblical and it's wrong. Am I preaching the truth this morning? Now, I know this may not set your soul on fire with revival, but I'm telling you, we're dealing with, this is serious, deadly stuff we're dealing with in this nation. And we at least need to be aware of what's going on. So number one, we're not to be under world authority or world government. We're not to be under the authority of other nations. There is a doctrine now going through the courtrooms of America called transnationalism that says that maybe as our judges should look to other nations to see how they decided laws so that we can set our laws the same way. That's wicked. And God said, don't do it. So number one, he's got to be one of you so that he'll know what's right. Number two, but he shall not multiply horses to himself. Horses in the Bible are a symbol of power. If you had a lot of horses, buddy, you had it. Okay? You had a lot because horses are bigger than men on the battlefield. And if your nation had more horses than the other nation had, you was going to run right over the top of them. Okay? It's all about gravity, all right? That's what it's about. It's about leverage, and that's what horses were, a symbol of power. So number two, God said he's not to be in authority just to simply to bring power to himself. And that is the government of the United States of America right now. Power, 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 and control, and control. Now watch this. He said, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. He said, you're not to put the people in bondage by increasing your power so that your power should be increased. And so when the congressmen of our nation who are supposed to represent you make backdoor deals to get legislature through, they're returning you to Egypt to multiply horses to themselves. And as far as I'm concerned, these guys who sold out America on this health care bill, they're traitors to the Constitution of the United States. When they offered this guy a bribe in the state of Nebraska that you, the taxpayer, would pay all the Medicare bills for the state of Nebraska, that was treason as far as I'm concerned. He is multiplying horses to himself and he's selling you into bondage. That's typical of what goes on in Washington, D.C. right now. It's wrong. It's wicked. For as much of the Lord God has said unto you, you should not return no more that way. Who wants to go back to live under King George? We shouldn't want that in our country. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Now, Solomon did that. And did it work out for Solomon real well? No. They turned his heart against God. But let's look at this. Wives, women, morality. Does it matter if an elected politician is an immoral person? In other words, can he just sleep around with one woman after another and still sit in the office of authority in this country? It should have never been allowed to take place. Okay? The immorality that exists in the Congress halls of the United States of America, that D.C. madam, she was a high-class Washington prostitute who ran a service, and she had a black book about this big, with all the politicians' names in it. And they found her hanging dead in her mom and dad's garage because she was going to publish the names. And I'm telling you, the immorality that exists in the congressmen of our nation is what's killing America. I have a deal on my desk. There's a wedding announcement. Nancy Pelosi's PR guy is getting married to another guy. Okay? It's immorality, and God said it won't work. That his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself what? Power and money always go hand in hand. Power, money, and sex always go hand in hand in politics. And this is all about taking the wealth of the American worker away from him and giving it out or having power over it. Does anybody know what a lobbyist is? A lobbyist, traditionally, the word came from a guy who stood out in the lobby of the House of Representatives that before the guy went in to vote, he tried to influence his vote in the lobby. a lobbyist firm, there are thousands of lobbyist firms in the United States of America that are funneling huge sums of money into the re-election campaign coffers of the elected officials. This is why it's hard to get somebody that's in office out of office, because money from both the right wing and the left wing is being funneled into these guys' campaign deals, and they're living high on the hog on this thing, and these are the guys that are going to get them reelected. It's not we the people anymore, it's the lobbyists and the power brokers that are in this nation. And I would include even the Christian right-wing fundamentalist groups, which there ought not be any in Washington. If we want to have influence over this nation, you know where we're supposed to do it from? Not from Washington, D.C. We're supposed to do it from right here at this altar, right here. Amen? And you know what? Doesn't cost a dime. Okay? Let me get past this here. Deuteronomy 17, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. The real problem with America, what has happened because we have immorality and because we have greed and because we have power brokers and everything else going on, is what really happens is that when we decide to listen to this, and this falls in the hands of the church. Listen to me. Now, I'm going to put this down in our laps. Let's forget about Washington, D.C. for a minute, and let's go to our own houses. Because are there problems in our own houses? What is the source of the problems that we have in our own houses? We will not regard what's in this book because we won't even read it. Look at what it says up there on the screen. It doesn't say that he was to be given a copy. It says that he shall write him a copy. He's supposed to write his own copy. And when you write something, you read it. He was to write his own copy of the Bible. And he was to govern according, and so that, number one, and it shall be, he shall read therein all the days of life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. The problem with Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barney Frank and all these other people in Congress is that they do not fear God. That is their problem. And when you do not fear God, you will be a tyrant over mankind, and you will not rule the way God wants you to rule. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. Now, 224 years ago, Jan, is that what we come up with? 224 years ago, or 34 years ago, 24. Our forefathers in this nation had this Bible as their guide to do what they did. And I say, how many of you want to change Washington, D.C.? Raise your hand. You really want to change America? Then it starts in your life, in your form of self-government. If you will not govern your own actions, then don't be mad at the government. Don't be mad because they're putting up cameras everywhere. Don't be mad that they're monitoring every single thing. Do you ever wonder why when you go to the store they're asking for your zip code? Do you ever wonder why that everything is now moving to an electronic transaction of money instead of cash? Because they can trace it. I guarantee you there's a database somewhere with everything that you've bought, and they build a little database of who you are based upon what you watch on TV. Digital, cable, and satellite, they monitor what you watch. They know when you turn the channel. Okay? They know all this stuff. And if you will not govern your own actions, that is why we have to have a monitoring system for everybody in this country. And it starts with you. It starts in your home with you governing yourselves. It is not the job of the pastor to come by your house and say, I need to see your television. Can I have the keys to your car? I'm going to go and find out what presets you have on your radio. I need to look at your bookshelf, see what you got on the shelf. Can everybody please, Sterling, would you pick up the offering plate, go around and get everybody's iPod and hand them in so I can see what's going on. You would not stay here for one day. Govern yourself. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. Govern yourself using this Bible as your rule, okay? Then he said that his heart be not lifted up, how? Above his brethren. Now, I believe in biblical realms of authority, and I believe in them in a home, and I believe the husband and the dad is to be the spiritual head in a home. Do you believe that? Say amen. But dads, when you get away from this Bible, that's when you start turning macho on everybody. Woman! That's not right. And if you're that way and doing that in your home, you need to get your Bible back out and let God put you back in your place. Because you know what you've done? You've lifted up your heart above your brethren. Your brethren in your home is your wife and your children. Am I telling the truth? Guys, the brethren in your life is your wife and your children. And you are never to lift up your heart above them. Because you're not any better than they are. And God ruled that not an elitist society crowd is to rule over his people, but people who were from among the people should rule over his people. Do you agree with that? Say amen. So it starts out, say amen. So it starts out the Constitution. We the people. We the people of the United States of America. Okay? This is how it's supposed to be in our homes. This is how it's supposed to be in our churches. This is how it's supposed to be in our businesses. And this is how it's supposed to be in the United States of America. Do you believe in God's word? Say amen. That his heart be not lifted up his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the left hand or to the right, to the end that he may prolong. Listen to this now, because I'm going to show you where God's serious. To the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom. Okay? So dads and husbands, when your wife's had enough of it, your days are fixing to not be prolonged. Either by murder or abdication, all right? Okay? When you will not live the way God tells you to live, your kingdom will not be prolonged. And America, listen, our days are running short in this country. Why? Because our politicians won't live right and the people won't live right. And when that happens, God shortens the days of the nation. Historically, this is true. And I don't know how much longer we have, but we can clearly see that time is running out in the United States of America. How many of you agree with me? Say amen. Now, if you disagree with me on one or two points in this message, that's okay, because I can handle your disagreement. But I will tell you, the key here is, where is the Bible in your life? And if your life is not governed by the word of God, you will not rule your own life right, and you will not rule the realm of areas of life that you have. You won't do it right. And we need a Bible revival in this nation. Amen. And in our churches and in our homes. Yeah. It's what we need. We don't need new taxes. Don't need the United Nations to come in and fix it. We need a Bible revival in this nation. Now I'm going to ask you, we're going to close this out, and I'm going to ask you to just, where you are, bow your head, close your eyes.